Hold up. Stop the presses. Do they still have presses? I don't know. I don't know. But big thanks to Audible, the leading provider of audio content on the internet, for sponsoring today's episode of How Did This Get Made? There's so many podcasts out there. And Audible, you chose to advertise with us. That's why today I'm going to tell you Audible is so great. You can enjoy books freely, whenever you'd like, and doing whatever you would like. Finally, the freedom of reading is yours. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/how today for a free audiobook and 30-day free trial. Muchas gracias, Audible. That's my French. Today's show is also brought to you by Adult Swim. Now, I hope you guys have been watching the new season of Children's Hospital starring Rob Corddry and NTSF SD SUV starring me and June. Guys, if you like this podcast, then you're going to fall in love with these shows. I mean that. You're going to really fall in love, marry them, have an affair, but then come back to watch it because it will be like you had kids with it. I don't know. I got lost in that metaphor, but I'm just going to tell you, do yourself a favor. Tune in every Thursday night at midnight, back to back, Children's NTSF, only on Adult Swim. That's Thursday nights on Adult Swim, your go-to destination for comedy. All right, let's get this show started. Hey, everybody, today is a live episode of How Did This Get Made, part of our live shows that we did in New York City. Just a reminder that we are having another live episode coming up in Los Angeles in August. That's right, in August we are doing a live show, August 24th at Largo, LA. So buy your tickets for that if you're in LA, if you want to travel to LA. I don't know why, but you can see us. That is August 24th, another live show in LA. And just a warning, as always, because these shows are live, sometimes the clips are a little bit more visual. So don't bitch about it. Use your imagination. Use your mind's eye. Okay, on with the show. It's part Rocky, but with arm wrestling. And part Kramer versus Kramer with Stallone and Robert Loggia. What could go wrong? Everything. We saw over the top, so you know what that means. Now it's Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to a very live episode of How Did This Get Made? We are here at Subculture in New York. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas. We have a very special guest tonight. You know this next person from things that are very funny. Please welcome Bobby Moynihan. All right. I don't remember thinking that this movie was crazy lame. I thought when I was a kid, I was like, this movie is amazing. But literally, I would say 45 minutes is spent in the third act, like the arm wrestling portion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they get, like, the plot is like, oh, yeah, 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 we got to get through this plot.
Well, the first half, this movie is structured like a romantic comedy between a man and a child. This is a straight-up pedophile incestuous love story with a romantic montage where they sleep in the car together and then do workouts and then have there's the kid at the end has to like run through the airport and get to his dad so he can be like, I love you, Dad. And the dad, and they're always going like, pump it up, pump it up, pump it up and over, up and over. Everything is like the most sexual movie we've ever. I'm like,
well, you didn't even talk about the the tackle in the middle of the highway where he grabs his son, hugs him tight.
And he rips his sleeve off.
Sometimes you need to aggressively hug somebody to get them to love you. But the movie is like edited in a weird way too, because they clearly didn't have enough footage for the first half of the movie. So they show a scene of like Stallone and the kid getting along. And then like two scenes later he's like, hey, why don't you smile? It's like, no, we saw him in the montage. He was smiling.
He was very happy.
Like, they were like, oh, shit, it's 88 minutes. Put that in there.
The first 15 minutes of the movie is a lot of people just judging Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Like, it's the best acting ever, but he'll walk by and there's one woman who literally mouths the word. She's like, who is that?
Yeah.
They're so terrified that someone with suspenders has showed up in their town.
And they've also added, like, all these other ADR lines as he's walking to that military school.
Yeah, it's a military school.
People are like, what's this? Who's that? What's going on? Who's that guy? Like,
I thought he was a colonel for a minute, and I got super confused because they said the colonel's ready to see you. I was like, wait, his dad's the fucking colonel?
A military school which discharges his son to the father who he's never met and is like, you take him home.
But
we're cool with this.
The son has never met the dad, but how does he prove that he's the father? Just a blown up 8x10 of their wedding picture.
But didn't that make you think a little bit? I had never seen it. I watched it today for the first time. And he showed that photo, there was a time where it was like, well, you can't fucking fake that.
Yeah.
That's true. But by the way,
that was legit.
The
day he was
says,
like, you have a photo.
The son says, and rightly so, can I see some ID?
Yeah.
First of all, we'll get into the wife, I hope, in a second. And
her motivation,
like, why didn't she call her son and say, Dad's
why
coming
did she hide the
you?
Letters? Why
like,
did she
so
hide
many
the letters?
She was too weak. She was too weak.
She does sound very weak.
She's very weak.
And Stone Cold died in the middle of this movie.
Yeah, that happened.
By the way,
bitch is dead.
But by the way, like, I'll also go to say, like, Stallone really wants to connect with his kid, yet he's very late for this graduation.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he shows up after it's over, but yet he spends a lot of time washing the truck, armor-hauling the wheels, brushing his teeth, wearing suspenders. Like, you know
He's late. He's also late to the mother's funeral. This fucking asshole can't be on time for anything.
I so wanted
he's
him
a
to pull
piece
up
of
in the
shit.
Truck. He wish he had pulled up in the truck for the funeral.
Oh, yeah. I feel like he's like, he arrives late, he either picks the kid up or throws flowers down and is like, boom, I'm out. I could give a shit right now. I got an arm wrestling competition, which is apparently the biggest sport in America.
Yeah, did I miss something like in 1987? This is like saying the XFL was as big as the NFL. It was like, this never happened. Televised arm wrestling.
Like, televised everywhere. Like, when the kid is running through the airport, it's on, like, 8 TVs. Like, he comes out of the luggage carrier, and he looks up, and it's like, arm wrestling, All-American Championships. And it's like,
it's on screens at the airport in between, like, this plane is arriving at 7:45. Like, why would that TV be on?
Because people want to know what gates they're going to and who the fuck is winning the arm wrestling championships.
I hear Butch is doing really good in the semis.
I heard
Grizzly's drinking oil again.
I heard one of six bearded men has lost his mind. There is no shortage of bearded men who just go, in this movie, like, over and over and over again.
And then there's one dude who is in khakis, a white polo, a fake red beard, glasses, and just fucking super jacked arms. But he just looks like a dad other than
dad with jacked arms.
So if you haven't seen the movie, which I highly recommend that you do, basically Stallone's a truck driver who's a part-time professional arm wrestler who's estranged from his son but has an amazing relationship with his ex-wife. Like, amazing. Like, he calls her honey, and there's no animosity.
And he's devastated when she dies.
Yeah. Well, when even questioned, like, why did you leave my mom? He's like, I have my reasons.
And
we never find out what those reasons were.
By the way, if you think you're going to find out, you're not. Nope. If you think when the kid opens the letters and is like, now we're going to get some information, we don't.
Guys, I really do think that there was something deeply wrong with the mother. And not, obviously physically she was not
doing. Yeah, no, she was dying.
She was very weak.
Something was very wrong with her.
She was so wrong.
I think she
probably cancer.
I think she might have been also, I think she might have also been insane. Because there's one shot of her where she's sitting in her hospital room and she's like sitting in a very nice upholstered chair.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay.
She's very wealthy.
And she's on the phone and the son's asking her questions and she says, I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. I have to go. To where?
Oh, June. Like, the answer
to
is
die.
Heaven.
She had to go die.
The answer is heaven. She's going to heaven.
I think that she was getting cancer injected into her.
Yeah.
She's like, I need to die.
She's like, I gotta get out of this world. My husband left me. My dad is Robert Loggia. Things are bleak.
But there is a moment, too. Like, this is the flaw of the movie is that none of it makes sense. But that's the flaw? Yeah. That is the big flaw.
That's the flaw of every movie we watch.
But there's in the moment in the beginning, the son is like, you know, how come you haven't talked to me? By the way, fuck this kid.
This is Sylvester Stallone's real son, right?
You know what? I thought it was, and I did some research. It is not.
I thought it was.
I thought it was, too, and then I did some research.
I remember that being something.
Rocky V is his real son.
Oh, okay.
He was the voice of Sam in the Transformers movie.
Yes, that is true.
That changes everything, then. Because now I think it's 10 times more molesty. Because the whole time I was like, well, it's his real son, so that makes kind of sense. Now I'm like, then get your fucking hands off that kid.
He's not the only one, though. Other people in that movie try to molest that boy.
Oh, yeah.
But
he leaves the kid alone all the time for people to just grab.
He leaves him alone at the bar, and Bull walks in, and how he introduces his character is by grabbing the boy's hand, who also has the stress ball. In his hand, and he just goes, "Where's your father?"
No, he goes, "How do you know that man?
How do you know that man?"
And he goes, "He's my father."
Yeah,
he was so jealous.
By the way, 5 minutes before they arrive at that steakhouse or whatever that was, like
steakhouse,
not a steakhouse.
No,
June,
shitty roadside diner with arm wrestling in the back.
Whatever it was. I do think though that Sylvester Stallone has like this crazy food obsession. I know we're gonna talk about Demolition Man later.
Hey, let's go get a steak.
But he's
I know a great place.
Obsessed with food in his movies and like bad food and good food.
Well, he's trying to get the word out about cholesterol on a lot of his movies.
That's what's happening.
Like, you feel like that's like his underlying thing. Like, you know, like John Travolta might have been trying to do with Scientology and Battlefield Earth. Here he's like, we gotta get the word out about cholesterol. That kid talks about cholesterol like 7 times.
Oh yeah.
But the kid says, that's my father, so proudly, and so he speaks about him in such a familiar way. He just met him 10...
Hours ago.
Moments ago.
Hours ago.
I want to bring back to the one crux part of the beginning. Like, right when he meets his dad, he's like, you never talk to me, you never reach out. And he goes, whoa, what are you talking about?
Flawless Stallone. Flawless.
It was not Stallone. I was not doing Stallone. I was doing Robert De Niro. And he goes, yeah, why haven't you reached out to me? He's like, what are you talking about? I wrote you 100 letters. And the kid's like, oh. And then that, like, at that point, you should be like, oh, well, there must have been some kind of crazy miscommunication. I should be mad at you.
I believe the kid asks to stop having a conversation after that.
Yeah, he says, I don't want to talk about it.
Little prick.
Stallone, one would think he would follow that up with, did you not get them?
Yeah.
I wondered why you never wrote
about it. That's weird. I wrote 100 of those things.
If you never got my letters, this all must seem insane.
And then on top of it...
You must be terrified right now. Because I'm a stranger who has kidnapped you with intent to rape.
I am wearing suspenders.
I want to have a conversation with your mother.
Yes. There's a lot of... But by the way, just to talk about these letters... If you're watching the movie and you're at least an active participant as a viewer, you would go, oh, the bad guy in this movie is Robert Loggia. I bet you Robert Loggia held those letters back from him.
Nope.
No. The easiest choice this movie could have made was, he had all the letters.
Yep.
Nope, no. The mom did. Hidden in her purse. Hidden in a purse in a drawer.
And then she went and died like an asshole.
But yet the mom, whenever she's on the phone, she's like, oh, you guys need to connect. You need to bond. So, like, the mom is always like, you need to connect, but yet I was holding back this crucial part of information for you to connect, which goes into June's thing, which is she's certifiably insane.
She's a crazy person.
Oh, everybody's crazy in this movie. Like, the only person who's not crazy, I feel like, is the kid. And he's crazy, but in a lot of ways, like, when Bull comes up to that kid and is like, who is that man? Or how do you know that man? The kid should be like, I don't. Get me the fuck out of here. Shit's going down that is not cool.
Like,
and then later, when Stallone takes the kid into, like, another restaurant, takes him to the back, like, this is all, like, the weirdest child rape fantasy. He's like... He takes the kid, he takes him to the back of another bar where there's a bunch of kids playing video games, and he's like, hey... Who wants a turn at my son? Hey, hey.
It looked like kid. A scene how'd out like of to, The Accused.
How'd you like to do Round Robin on my son? Get up here on the pinball table. Yeah. It's fucking mental. And then when the kid runs out crying, he's like, I don't like this. You humiliated me. He's like, you fucking get in there and you do this. You do this because you're a man. You take it. You
and
take
the kid,
this.
And the kid at this point in the movie has shown no proclivity to arm wrestling, being strong.
It's also the only second time they arm wrestle in the movie is that scene, I believe. There's not a lot of arm wrestling in this.
Only the last 40 minutes, and then it's all wall to wall.
Wall to wall. Yeah. Arm wrestling.
I said to you earlier, it's Real Steel. It's like the same movie, except robots.
How dare you?
And arms.
Real Steel is this.
Yeah. I just want to I do want to show you obviously Stallone getting ready for arm wrestling, and this is one of my favorite moments. How he gets psyched up for the arm wrestle here. So I'm gonna crack that open here. This is more of a video moment than it is an audio. So we'll just duck out of the way of the screen, and here we go.
Right
super
here.
Weird.
Super right
weird.
Here.
A bald man with and not to be stereotypical, but with a 70s gay mustache is attacking his child.
Thinking his penis.
I love watching Stallone in that scene walk up to get prepared. He looks like every blood vessel is going to burst. He's like, like, it's like the Hulk, but he's not turning. It's like he's just taking a really hard shit. Just shaking. And then the other guy that he's wrestling there is like just a bizarro Patrick Swayze.
Oh, that's great.
He's every crazy person smashed together, I feel like.
Just to put some context to this movie... Stallone was paid $12 million to star in this.
What?
It was done in 1987. So $12 million in 1987 is a lot of cocaine. And years later, Stallone explained that he agreed to appear in this movie, saying that the producer, Golan, kept on offering him more and more money until I finally thought, what the hell? No one's going to see this.
And here we are.
It came in fourth place on opening weekend. So that is pretty bad for like Stallone in his prime to come in fourth.
Do you know what beat it by any chance?
I do not know what beat it.
No.
Sorry. Oh, boy.
Does anybody hear now? Failures. You fucking worthless sacks of shit.
Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MADE, like in our show, How Did This Get Made? Now, you guys are all crazy talented, right? Tweet at me, at Paul Scheer, with a link to your Squarespace pages. I want to see what kind of creative things you guys are coming up with. I know some guy came up with Nick Cage's balls. I have not gotten up the nerve to check out what that looks like, but I'm excited to. If you don't have a Squarespace yet, make one so I can look at it. Squarespace is constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, and even better support. They have beautiful designs for you to start with, all the style options you need to create a unique website for your business or your personal life. Who cares? Start a website. Get into the technology future. Information how, where you're writing it. Okay, Squarespace starts at just $8 a month. What? That's as cheap as Netflix. And includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So go to Squarespace today, get a free trial, no credit card required. And if you purchase, make sure you get a 10% off on us. And when you do that, you support the show, then more people want to advertise, keeps the lights on, keeps us fed. We eat a lot of food. So go to squarespace.com, offer code MADE. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. Stallone drives a cologne truck at one point. He is transporting cologne.
Yeah.
Like, which I just the idea of cologne in a 16-wheeler made me laugh. Like, one type of cologne, just like, brute. It was all the bad ads.
Here's
in this,
weird,
dude.
Though, oh, yeah, so many bad ads. I have a question about trucking, because it seems like...
You have a question about trucking?
I do, because at the end of the movie, there's a big prize at stake, mm-hmm, at the arm wrestling tournament, which is a giant truck.
How lucky. Yes.
Right, but when you... this is what I'm asking. When you are a truck driver, aren't you just given the trucks... of the company. Okay, thank you. Thank
you. Very mad.
To be fair, to be
you have
fair,
to buy your own way.
85% of our audience are truck drivers.
Now I understand that.
And we appreciate you guys listening on the long hauls.
Big podcast listeners.
You guys listened to us over CB when we first started out, and we appreciate that.
When a new episode comes up, they're all on the CB's Club. Breaker, breaker.
Breaker, breaker.
You listening to this Howard the Duck episode?
I will say, though,
we got applause breaks just for mentioning our own episodes.
I will say that it was odd to me that the prize of the arm wrestling competition was a big rig. Because if you were not a trucker, that is not a good prize.
It seems to be only a prize he would want.
Yeah, I laughed out loud this morning because the way they set it up is awesome. Because he goes, and the winner will win $100,000, and and then he says, and then a truck. Also is like, what are the chances? This guy's
well,
dead.
So much so that when they're announcing all of the different arm wrestlers for the final, like the finals, they announce everyone, and everyone sort of turns to the camera and gives like a really scary face. And when they announce Sylvester Stallone,
by the way, this is the amazing acting.
He's faced away because he's staring at his truck.
Yeah.
And so he's just sort of caught off guard. And
also,
and
everybody else in that scene, exact scene, is placed within the riotous crowd, and people are patting them on the back, and he is alone, sitting, not like pumped up, but sitting kind of like...
Just staring
at
the truck.
And then he goes like this.
He's sitting there and he's just looking, oh man, all the cologne I could transport across the country. This big rig, oh, this beautiful
rig.
This
is, well, I think this is, wait, 80, yeah, this is like
87.
The heyday of like trucker,
kind
of, not the heyday, I guess, maybe, but like BJ
this
and the Bear
past,
kind
this
of.
Is past the
I guess
heyday
it is. That's like late 70s, I guess.
But I will say
there's
one thing.
There's something truckery about that era.
And I thought he looked great in his trucker costume, I will say that.
I think that's what it's called, a trucker costume.
I thought he looked great.
Hey, Sly, you got to get in your trucker costume and then get on set. Got it.
He loves that truck. If there is any kind of eagle, if there's any kind of metal eagle,
hawk.
He's going to spend a couple... Oh, Hawk.
Hawk. His last name is
Hawk. Wait. Or is it?
Yeah,
guys,
it changes.
His name changes in the movie, and I actually put together a little montage.
His name changes a couple times.
It's Lincoln Hawk.
It's Hawk. Sometimes it's Hawks.
Oh, that does happen. Yeah.
To both. I will play you that. That I think is really not a good. That's bad scripty.
But if there is a metal hawk in the movie, he's going to polish it for at least 6 minutes.
Yeah,
because it happens a couple times.
So this is a little montage of Hawk or Hawk. He responds to both. So listen carefully. Here we go. And sometimes in the same scene, differently.
Again, Hawks. How you doing, boy? Better than you. You Hawk. I said, are you Hawk? Court is going to give him to his father unless Hawks can't support him.
Hawks.
How the hell can he support him? You Hawks?
Hawks.
Let's go. See you, Hawks.
Hawks.
The odds on Lincoln Hawks.
Kelly, what are the odds on Hawks?
Lincoln Hawks, 20 to 1.
20 to 1, pal. For the long shot.
Come in, Hawk.
So he wins his Hawk. He was Hawks. He goes back and forth. The odds are 20 to 1 on Hawks.
Yeah.
But Lincoln Hawk wins.
That's pretty amazing.
His name changes. How does that happen? That's lazy. That's really lazy. It's and he agrees to everyone. You would think like Stallone would be like, actually, my name is Hawk. I wrote the script. I'm co-scriptwriter. My name is Hawk. Because that's the name of my truck. Hawk, not Hawks. Like, no one checked that. Like, how checked out was he that he allowed himself to be called two different names. Yeah.
There was that moment where he was like, hey, like he tried to bring it up. He's like, hey, can I tell? And they were like, we've got to get moving. He's like, just forget it, man. Just forget
12
it.
Million? 12 million? Like 12 million. Okay, let's keep going.
We won't fix it.
Or maybe it was as soon as he like had a family and had a son, he was like, we're the Hawks.
You think it's plural?
I don't know. You
they have a plural? Weird conversation maybe, like, about that, don't they? He's like, when you take over the business, it'll
oh,
be
yeah. Yeah.
Like
Hawk and Son.
Hawk and Son. But he screws it up, and he's like, yeah, Hawk and Son. Like, he says something different the first time.
What's
Son and Hawk?
Right? Yeah. That won't work.
By the way, this kid wants to grow up to be a truck driver.
Well, that's the thing. That's
he
the
has
thing
a very
that makes
promising career as a
he
cadet.
Wins the money. He wins the truck. Spoiler alert. And the kid is like, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And he's like, okay, great. And then they're gonna live in a truck together. Is
no,
that what I'm
gonna
meant
get the
to
old
believe?
Truck. They're gonna give him the old truck, and they're gonna drive side by side.
I was actually,
a side by side. That's amazing.
I was very upset to see them fall asleep like that in the truck bed.
He tells him, he's like, "Hey, if you get tired in the middle of the night, you can fall asleep on my shoulders."
And then he falls asleep on the kid's
on the kid's shoulder. Super creepy.
Super rapey.
Like super all creepy. Cuddled up like a fucking weirdo. Not cool. Yeah, because that's the thing. Is like Robert Loggia is if you want. Vintage Robert Loggia, guys, do yourselves a favor and watch the pilot episode of Magnum P.I. It is 2 hours long. Robert Loggia is the bad guy. And maybe 15 minutes of content that is worth it. But it's amazing. But Loggia is the bad guy, and he's incredibly rich in this. So the kid is going to inherit all this money or whatever, but he wants to, like, bro out with Stallone to the point where I'm like, why would you do this? Now you have the money. You can't force this child to live in a truck. You can't be like...
He wants
right.
to.
You know, but you can't. Oh, so guys, right? We can't
saying,
let this happen.
You're saying, I see, that Stallone, if he really did want the best for his son, would
settle
have said, like,
you can get
the best education.
He can't settle down. He's a man of the road.
Then leave the kid with Loggia. The kid can't be on the road. This kid is moments away from rape. While they are together, the kid is
kidnapped.
Assaulted by Bull, kidnapped by thugs. Like, the kid is... Like, Stallone is a terrible father.
Well, what...
A terrible father.
I would argue that he's not even...
In the movie.
He's not... In real life, he's kind of a bad
in
dad.
In real life, he's the best dad ever. I know that because he's my father.
I wanted to get... I feel like, June, this is something that you would catch on to, that his character as a father sometimes is so like... Yeah, I'm just trying to do stuff for my son. And then all of a sudden, like, driving a truck through a mansion. Like, there's no middle ground. Like, he goes from, like, I'm so shy, I'm awkward in suspenders, to I'm going to punch a guy through a wall. Like, there is no, like he's raised.
There's this weird line of, like, I just want to be a good dad. And then he's like, no, you drive the fucking truck. I don't care about other people's lives.
Yeah.
Well...
And what's that? Oh, I'm going to train in my truck by driving a tractor trailer and using a handmade sort of rig that he built that has weights on it.
Yeah, it's like he built a Nautilus machine in his truck and he's doing weights.
Are you sure it isn't a Soloflex?
Which is predominantly featured on
very
a lot of hand
featured.
Arm wrestlers' shirts.
And an Alka-Seltzer's on one other guy's shirt. Alka-Seltzer was really big in the arm wrestling scene. We've got to get it out there. And then they crack open Alka-Seltzer later on.
I feel like that was the first time I noticed product placement, like in the
in
80s, because the guy, Grizzly, screams, I'm going to drink some oil out of a funnel. He specifically says funnel, drinks motor oil out of the funnel, and then the next shot is him cracking open some Alka-Seltzer and being like,
got to.
Shouldn't have drank that oil.
Yep.
Shouldn't have drank that Valvoline.
That was a mess.
They didn't even do product placement on Valvoline. It was just oil.
No, it was Valvoline. It was
Valvoline.
Here's the thing. Oh, was it?
Yeah,
was
yeah.
it?
Here's the thing about Stallone's character, though. I mean, you have to remember that he's been sending his son letters for his son's entire life. And he's been getting pictures back.
Right.
So he isn't working under the assumption, I assume, that the son has gotten his letters.
Right.
Maybe doesn't know how to write.
You would think at a certain point, because he has such a good relationship with the mom, that he'd be like, hey, whatever the mom's name, like, Catherine, like, why isn't my kid writing back to the 75 letters I've sent?
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh,
love
yeah, I'm hiding.
Love the pics.
Yeah, love the pics.
Thanks so much for the pics, but hey, what's up with the kid not writing? I feel like maybe you're squirreling these away in a purse at the bottom of a drawer and not showing them to him.
By the way, that purse, where it was hidden, there were a couple purses in that drawer.
Yeah, it was,
and it was hidden
don't
in
all
like
ladies
a
have a bottom
no.
drawer, purse drawer?
It was like hidden in like a makeup vanity, like boudoir sort of structure. Like there's no reason a ton of purses would be in
oh,
that
see,
drawer.
I just saw and that and really I was like...
And that's really where this movie lost
oh,
me.
Oh, girls in their purses. Every girl's got
it's
a vanity
a
with a drawer,
drawer.
Full of purses.
It's a purse drawer.
Never heard of it.
Where you store all the purses full of weird stuff.
Yeah, see, I feel like it'd be like that if I went into a girl's room. I'd find like a vanity. I'd open the bottom drawer and it'd be purses full of dildos or something. You know, like that's where girls hide their stuff, right? I understand women.
Oh, brother.
What if Stallone... What if Stallone and the woman were just, like, legitimately, like, just insane? Like, they were, like, yeah. they needed to belong in a mental institution, and Robert Loggia got in there and was like, you know what? You need to go
I
over here.
I have a question
okay,
about
Chris,
this.
No,
go ahead.
Let me say one thing. When the first shot of her, she's very sick, sitting on that upholstered chair in the, yeah. her hospital room, and her hair is cut in a way where it does not look like this is somebody who is suffering and has been through chemotherapy. This looks like in sort of a manic rage, she has taken scissors and cut off all of her hair.
Yes, like, agree.
Right?
Yeah. No, she looks crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
She looks, if she
like
was instead in a mental
head.
Institution.
She has not lost her hair. She
I would
has
believe
cut
you.
It
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's terrible. My question is this, because there is like a tiny glimmer of insight that I'm like, whoa, 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 what's the story here? Where the kid at some point says to Sylvester Stallone, hey, are you still selling drugs?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, in my mind, there's a narrative where Stallone and the mom are just fucking druggies. They're selling drugs. They're like cocaine cowboys level maniacs. And
he's
Stallone,
hauling meth across the country.
Whatever. Just like crazy coke. He's working for the cartels. We all get it.
The original Walter White.
Yep. And then he like bails because of whatever. She raises the kid with Loggia, the dad and whatnot. And because of all the drug use, she's going to die because of something.
What about this?
Right?
What about this?
Right?
The guy, there was a drug cartel and they said, we're going to kill your family. And he's like, look, that's too much for me.
Oh, I love this movie.
You got to go with your dad. You got to go with your dad. I'm going to be on the run. They'll come after me. They won't come after you. And Loggia's like, I'm going to pay off this cartel, but you can never see my daughter again. That's a good backstory.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like... These are all better movies than what happened.
Instead, he asks Sylvester Stallone, are you still selling drugs? And his reaction is kind of like, I don't really...
When you say
really
selling...
I don't really remember selling drugs. I think your grandfather's making that up.
Well, here's a weird thing, too.
Pumps away. Just so, keeps on pumping.
So the grandfather also gets the court to essentially... He gets Stallone to sign a document that says he will not come back to the state. And that document's signed, and it's pretty clear, like, he's not seeing his son again. That's settled. Then a few scenes later, he shows back up.
Yep.
In Vegas to say yet again, you're not seeing your son again.
It gives him a lot of chances.
But like Sylvester
Stallone
was
says,
like,
I already signed your paper.
I already signed it.
What's the point? You're clear. You could have gotten out of here a week ago.
Yeah, he's like, get the hell out. I'm trying to win this truck, all right?
Loggia, this time Loggia's also offering him a truck and $500,000.
But he's already, like, Stallone, if I was Stallone, I would take it. I'm like, yeah, I already signed that contract. I'm free and clear. Because, by the way, at the end of the movie, it wasn't like, I'm signing this contract unless I win this contest. Like, there was no caveat in it, like, oh, but if you win an arm wrestling contest, this contract's null and void. Like, that was never part of the deal. And also, when that kid escapes, there's a large period of time where no one seems to be looking for him. Like, they give up. They're like, they're all up in, like, Robert Loggia's suite.
And this is an era where a kid in a movie can, like, maybe, what is this kid, 12 years old, 13 years old? Like, what?
He's 12.
12? I love that somebody was like, 12.
12. You don't know he's 12.
Jason, he's 12. Come on. He's 12 years old, and we are like, we're cool with him driving cars, stowing away on airplanes, or whatever. Like,
not even stowing away.
Craziness.
He pulls up to an airport, and he's like, hey, you can't park that car. He's like, yeah, keep it.
I'm fucking rich. Keep that.
And then like, he finds the best way to hide is to act like a piece of luggage, and he comes out of a luggage carousel and be like, ooh, who packed that boy?
Yeah.
Well, they had to get
no airport security.
They had to get all the luggage to the arm wrestling contest, so he knew he would get there fine.
By the way, during the arm wrestling contest, you know, it keeps on going down from like, you know, 500 entry people all the way down to like 8. But throughout that, they're like, and we're down to the final four. And you'll see people who are not in the final four just like, hurrah, hurrah, like lifting. It's like, guys, it's over. Let the dream die. You've clearly lost. No reason to stretch and do anything. There's only 4 people in this race anymore. Like, there's down to the final 2, and there's a guy like, hurrah, hurrah.
But you also have to lose 2 matches to be eliminated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's Jason, what this movie...
Jason.
Really? That's what this movie is called. Double elimination.
It's like the truck reveal. It should be called The Luckiest Man in the World.
Oh, yeah.
Jason, I don't know if that was clear enough that he had to lose 2.
Do you... Okay, this is...
So I compiled how many times they said it in the movie. Here we go. And listen up, here we go.
And also just, please look at their faces.
Here we go.
And pretend like they're
fine. One reminder, once again, this is a double elimination competition. You have to lose twice to be out. In other words, if you lose once, you still have one more chance. Okay, let me remind you, please. This is a double elimination competition. If you lose twice, you're out. Double elimination competition. Has lost his first finals match. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, this is a double elimination. Each of these semi-finalists have another chance. You have to lose twice to be out of the competition. This is a double elimination tournament. Any competitor who loses twice out of the 8 who are on these 4 tables.
So, there was 2 more that were just underscoring it, and I didn't think you could hear it as clear. So that's like 8 times. And even the announcer's like, just so I'm clear with you guys.
I feel like it's 80-yard lines because people are like, well, audiences are telling us that they're confused because we've seen all of these characters lose already. So we're going to ADR the double elimination thing in constantly just to make sense of this.
It seems to me that the only rule is it's a double elimination.
Otherwise, headbutting appears to be allowed. Yeah. Well, drinking of motor oil is allowed.
These are
They also weigh him when he first arrives. So I thought, well, there's going to be some sort of weight class. Like, you can only arm wrestle.
No. Let me ask you guys a question. What is the best part about reading? Going on wild, otherwise impossible adventures? Is that what your answer was? Yes, I nailed it. I'm right. So why are you hoarding hard copies of books? It's the 21st century. Everyone knows that collecting books is for reading bragging rights. Don't be like that. Enjoy books for their words, not their covers. Get Audible, and you'll have more books than you can fit in your entire apartment. And you can read them at any point. You can bring them on vacation. They're not bulky. Audible has over 100,000 books to choose from, and they provide the best stand-up sets from your favorite comedians. I didn't know they did that. Isn't that so cool? Oh, man, Audible's the best. Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. That's what you will sound like in a second. If you sign up for Audible now, they'll hook you up with a special offer, a free audiobook, and free 30-day free trial. All you have to do is log on to audiblepodcast.com/how, and that's how you get it. If you need a recommendation from me, why not read David Sedaris' Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim? It's one of my favorite Sedaris essay collections, and it's narrated by David Sedaris. It would be weird if I said it was narrated by, like, Tiger Woods. I don't think he would get the humor. Bottom line is, these guys are supporting the show, so do us a solid. Check them out. Go to audiblepodcast.com for a free audiobook and 30-day free trial. Remember, that's audiblepodcast.com/how. For a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial, folks. That's all I got to say about that.
No.
And they even say when he goes against Bull, Bull's got 100 pounds on him. And I was like, oh, then he's going to die. Yeah. If Bull has 100 pounds on Stallone, Bull is going to maim and or murder him.
Well, I believe Bull.
Here's the weird thing about like when he does lose, he has that one move. That one arm.
There must be cheating, right?
The hand grows. Yeah.
Do you notice that the final slow motion shot of him going over the
doing
top?
Doing the move.
He literally goes like, fans it out. So he's doing it in slow motion, and then they also put it in slow motion. So it's super slow, and he gets his fingers on top. Next shot, fingers are on the side. His fingers are never on top for that entire
fight. Really, by the way, they don't explain why that... Like, you would think, like, when his kid loses in arm wrestling, he'd be like, hey, you can't lose. Let me give you my trick.
Yeah.
And explain how he wins in arm wrestling. Nope. No, then it doesn't pass it on.
The kid does it. The kid does it and just knows to do it because he's seen Sly do it.
Well, not only that, but it's also like I was waiting for this metaphor of going over the top with arm wrestling to and like really going for it and turning your hat around to like really to connect to this relationship between the father and son. Like there must be something.
The movie should have been called Meet You Halfway.
But by the way, they didn't really meet each other halfway.
This movie should have been called Pull Your Pants Down, Kid, I'm Your Dad.
Pull Your Pants Down, Kid, I'm Gonna Suck It.
Sponsored by Solo Flex.
The best way, did you happen to pull the kid arm wrestling the other kid?
You know, it was so long that I didn't know what the best scene
okay,
I could pull.
The best part of it is, okay.
My two favorite actors are in that scene, the two cronies.
Oh, they're amazing.
They're amazing.
There's one guy who's like, hey, man, you gotta get him. And then the other guy has like a comeback. He's like, you really got him. He's like, yeah, you got him. The other guy
keep
fucking
being like,
sucks.
You wimp. You're a wimp. Remember when like being called a wimp was awful?
It's still pretty awful.
Look at that's her haircut. That was your haircut. Right there.
It's a little shaggy. For
that's
those of you listening, her haircut is shaggy. I'll pull up that kid arm wrestling scene.
Oh, that's the training scene. That. Oh my God, I love this movie.
I there are so many clips to pull.
Here we go.
All right, so here, do you want to? We're gonna just play the scene.
Oh, brothers.
All right, here we go.
He's a practical joker. Sorry.
He's just a shy kid. As a matter of fact, I'm so sure I'm willing to put money on it.
Kid, if I couldn't beat you, I'd kill myself. This is getting too intense.
You know you don't have a chance against this kid, you know that.
Yes, he does.
10-1 odds. You're one against my 10th, fair enough.
All right, let's go. 10-1 odds. Right here.
All right, 2 out of 3 times. You should take that off. That's not fair.
He's a wimp. You'll take him easy.
No gloves allowed.
Don't take clothing off of someone else's child.
Look at this.
All right, let's
start.
Ready, wimp? Skin feels like a girl. Maybe he is a girl.
You listen to me.
Look at how tender grabbing him! Like, look at how tender this is.
This is illegal. What he's doing?
What is happening?
Come on, Mike. Come on, break his arm.
Come on, get this thing away. Son of a bitch. Throw it away. Get away.
He's losing. Those of you listening, he's losing. He loses.
Can you go to the next one?
I'm going to fast forward.
Okay, I want you to watch this next one as if it's a sex scene. Okay? I just want to put that in your heads, okay? As if Stallone is watching a sex scene. Okay.
By the way, the arm wrestling face.
She said he was strong.
Disgusting.
Well, my boy was just feeling generous. Now it's time to go to work, am I?
He's a pimp! He's a pimp!
Time to go to work.
Yeah. This kid really think he can take me. I don't think so. What a joke. Give me the table this time. Smash him, Richie. This is gonna hurt, wimp. What do you think of that? I think your breath stinks.
Go! Come on, Mike. Come on. That's good, Mike. Come on, Mike. Come on. Hold him, drop the weight. Hold him, Mike.
His little whore did a good job.
Come on, one more time.
Let's go, Mike. Right away.
Let's go. Let's right away. Right away.
Break your arm.
Get mad. Ready?
Pump it, kid.
Come on, Mike.
Listen to her say pump it.
Pump it, Mike. Over the top. Pump it. The power, Mike. The power, Mike.
All right, way to go.
You're a tough little sucker, aren't you? That was great. Pay up now.
Money.
Look at that. Make them pay up.
I mean, come on!
Please, someone. much like this. If you edited the trailer, you could make this boy's life. Like it could be like an abusive dad relationship. You could really cut a good trailer.
Oh, that pump it, some... kid! Pump it! Pump it, kid!
Pump
what?
It, kid?
No! When don't I was... shout "pump it, kid" when... to your son.
When I was a kid,
yes.
When I was a kid, this is a true story. When I was a kid, I was hanging out with three of my buddies in front of a photo mat, and oh shit, man, oh. Fuck it.
Bleep it.
Comes up and his pulls up with his dad and was like, "You were making fun of my son. He's gonna kick the shit out of you." And his dad sat there while we all tried to fight his son. And at one point, his son was losing, and he kicked my friend Eric. And like, I remember then being like, "That's not right.
That's not
like,
okay. I was a
child. That is not right.
Just for legal purposes, that allegedly happened."
Yeah, exactly.
Let's also say that Eric was probably wearing an illegal glove. You know, so he made you could kick a kid if he's wearing the wrong fighting gear.
But it's you don't touch kids anymore.
No,
you also don't ask them to fight each other.
Yes,
but imagine pitching this now, like, yeah. So then there's a scene where they go into the diner and he, you know, Stallone sees a bunch of kids. And he's like, "Yeah, fight these kids." Yeah. No one would ever go like, wait, what those, happens in this movie?
Those
yeah.
menacing badass kids. One guy does not have a forehead. The crazy Asian guy is just super psyched, ready. I think he's Asian.
I'm in a lot
of trouble tonight.
Just for legal purposes, but the allegedly Asian guy.
But the other dude is the best one because he looks like the dude from Christmas Story. He's got the hair.
Yeah.
But he says, "I should kill this guy, right?" And he goes, "I don't know, man." That's his one contribution as a crony.
By the way, it's arm wrestling. He doesn't have any personal interest in this kid about all of this. "Oh, kill him!" Like, why?
Well, because...
You were just playing Super Mario Brothers a second ago.
Not even Super Mario Brothers, just Mario Brothers.
And the thing is, like, everybody... It's as if this movie exists in a world in which everybody cannot wait to arm wrestle. A world in which everybody... Are you okay, ma'am? Are you okay?
She's going over.
She just went like this.
It is
very unsettling for me. It's with everybody is just like
seconds away, ready to jump
off and arm wrestle. Like that's how it's going to go down.
That is the feeling. Like people are having conversations, and you can see in their eyes, like it's only a matter of time.
Did you have a moment though in the montage when they go towards the end of like of all the arm wrestlers, and then all of a sudden it cuts to like one like kind of hot lady with like a headband.
Yes.
She's cracking her finger. I don't know why, but like I gasped. I was like,
yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, they made a big deal too out of that there is a ladies bracket, but we never really see it.
No,
the first time you see the woman, she's like, boom, it's like, and then that ends our women's final. Like it was like, wait, we didn't even see it.
I bet the director's cut has like an hour of lady female arm wrestling, just topless.
And the one shot.
And if it doesn't, I'm shooting it later. So, talk to me, ladies.
The one shot of the guy whose arm actually pops out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just randomly, they were like, "Hey, that guy's fucking arm broke. We should throw that in the movie, too."
Tape it. But it's like, this movie is so clear. It was like, we need a movie that has, like, more sweat than Rocky and as much drama as Rambo. It's like, it's kind of
cramped. And it's a competition that anybody can do because we'll ignite an arm wrestling craze across the country.
I had the over-the-top arm wrestling toy. It was like you could. It was basically like a. It was like a.
Was it just a rape whistle?
It was a dildo and a rape whistle.
Did NAMBLA send it to you?
And a can of motor oil.
Sent your address to NAMBLA, and they sent you the toy.
You just had to show up to some dude's house, and he would play with you.
I had the over
the
top toy.
Only play with an older man.
I had the over the top toy, which was a man's penis on my block.
The over-the-top toy was just like a little platform with a red and blue like elbow holder, and you would just arm wrestle.
Was there an arm?
What?
Was there an arm on it?
No. You'd have to get a friend.
You'd have to have a friend.
Yeah. Or an adult man.
Adult man not included. Pedophile not included.
I love the part that like it gets to the finals when he's getting to the finals and you go, "And now we're bringing out our referees." And there's like 15 of them. It's arm wrestling. How many be like? How many? Like, there's more refs in this scene than there are in a Major League Baseball game. There's like 2 feet of coverage. It's like what? It touches or it doesn't. That's it.
Well,
meanwhile, when he headbutts them, that's not illegal. That's
totally fine. We're leading to this point where you know they meet each other halfway, and he shows up at the
You're
wrestling.
Really pushing
contest.
This as an alternate title.
Mike shows up, the young son, and what's so weird about it is it feels like he really wanted to know for sure that the dad sent those letters, that Sylvester Stallone sent those letters. But through the rest of the movie, before that, he never seems to doubt it or even mention, like, I don't think you did, Dad. And then the climax of the movie is him finding the letters and then getting to Vegas.
But he read the reads letters. Never, like, but basically, he's like, oh, you did write letters. Now I love you. You're the best. Like, that's it. Like, the 10 years doesn't matter.
Or the fact that you made me miss my mom's death while broing out with me. That's the thing. That's the movie is basically predicated on the fact that because father and son needed some bro down time, the kid missed the mom's life.
And he's really not upset about it when he's like, the one woman tells the doctor, and the doctor's like, I'll handle this. I'm a doctor.
This is...
Do you guys want to...
Oh, good.
You want to see how Stallone takes his wife's
death? His reaction is pretty shitty.
This whole thing is pretty awesome.
Okay, here we go.
Mr. Hawk?
Hawk.
I'm sorry. Your wife died this afternoon in the operating
room. Oh, man.
Whoa.
Oh, shoot. My wife died. Oh, now I gotta tell this kid. It's the worst cock block ever.
Oh, God.
This kid runs away at any sign of trouble all the time. There is so much runaway. But
his pants never fall down because he's got suspenders.
I like that his dress up, but he's like, hey, look, when I'm out on the road with you, not wearing suspenders. Pick you up from school, suspenders on. Go visit my crazy wife who's dying of cancer, suspenders go on.
Well, those are dress suspenders.
Wait, they're still married? Officially? Okay.
People said
the audience
is
like invested in it. Yeah.
They don't know.
Of course, June. Of course, June. We're the audience. We know that they're still married.
I also wanted to just play the quick scene of why Stallone turns the hat, obviously.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh. Well, inexplicably, at this point in the movie...
It just becomes a documentary?
There becomes documentary footage. There is, like, footage of what's Bull and...
Everybody.
And Hawk that is, like...
It turns into the office.
They're just talking to camera in a candid, like, confessional moment.
Mindy Kaling wrote those bits.
That's why I love, like, Stallone is a good actor, because there's one scene, like, he's nervous in front of the camera. So, like, the first time, they're like, why do you want to win? He's like, I like the truck. You know, he's, like, so, like, shy. It's like, yeah... Acting? Earthlings, last week there was a television event that changed America. I am, of course, referring to the laugh riot that broke out during the premiere of the new season of Children's Hospital, starring Rob Corddry, and NTSF SD SUV, starring myself and June Diane Raphael. No, there was no laugh riot. I even feel cheesy to even saying that. But I do want to tell you that you should be watching these shows. I would say millions of Americans... love this show. Are you one of them? I don't know if they love them. They're at least tuning in. Millions of Americans are tuning in. So, you know what? Maybe you'll laugh so hard you'll die, and then someone will write an article about it, and maybe we'll get more popular. So, if you can do that for us, that would be great. Tune in to Adult Swim on Thursday nights at midnight. It's great. If you guys like Human Giant, The State, Stella, Wet Hot, The League at all, right? You'll love Children's and NTSF SD SUV because they were created by the same people. So go to adultswim.com, play some fun games, find out more about the shows, watch clips, see our old episodes. Come on, guys. Weeks are long, and I know you're hurting for new content. You just can't be watching Baggage on the Game Show Network night after night. So go to Adult Swim Thursday nights at midnight for a half an hour comedy block of Children's Hospital and NTSF SD SUV. I'm saying half an hour. All told. That's the whole thing. So check us out Thursday nights at midnight. Me and June and Rob Corddry, who you know and love. This week, really good episode too. Oh boy, you're in for a real treat. Rob Riggle's in it. Oh, it's good. All right. But here he's getting a little bit more familiar with the camera, so he's a little bit less. Here we go. Stallone, why does he flip his hat?
What I do is I just try to take my hat and I turn it around, and it's like a switch that goes on. And when the switch goes on, I feel like another person. I feel.
Who's editing this footage?
I feel like a truck, like a machine.
You know that was improvised.
Yeah.
You know that was improvised. What? You can see it in his eyes. You know that moment. He's like, I know I gotta say machine, but there's a fucking machine right behind me. I want to point to that machine, because that's like me.
Did you guys see what I just did?
Cut.
He's so proud of himself.
He's so psyched that he's like that machine. That's why he's staring at that machine. He's in love with it, because he is it. Like Real Steel, he is a robot. Correct.
He loves the machine more than he loves anybody in this movie. I'm obsessed with the arm wrestling arm cozy.
Oh, my God.
That he wears throughout the arm wrestling
scenario. Just kind of on his elbow area.
And it is oftentimes on and off and on and off. There was absolutely no continuity and no script supervisor in this.
No continuity whatsoever. But then when he says, Cutler's upstairs, he wants to talk to you. He's like, hey, how long do I have before I fight? 30 minutes. He's like, okay, well, I have time.
Yeah.
Like, they really took the time to make sure the audience knew that he's got at least 25 minutes before he has to win an arm wrestling competition.
They're not going
to
abuse these guys. Yeah, they're going to arm wrestle. Yeah, they're going to get tired. They're going to get a break, a nice break. And there's a guy back there with a big back massager who'll just do it. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's just sitting there getting his back massaged by a guy.
There's a whole, like, triage area.
And then like, a doctor's, like, touching his biceps. Like, yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah, you're good. You're good to go.
We haven't
like,
brought
what
up...
What are you touching with your finger in the bicep? Like, yeah, that bicep's together. Yeah, there's no tear there.
Yep. No, this feels like... You know what this feels like? It feels like a man's arm. Okay, so you're good to go.
We haven't brought up the fact that before arm wrestling matches, your trainer slaps you in the fucking face as hard as he can.
Number of times.
Over and over again.
Everybody
who is in this movie, they were like, okay, if you are a big, beefy guy with a giant beard, you're in. Great news. One caveat.
You got the part.
A fat slob is going to slap you in the face a bunch. So that's part of the movie.
Ooh, but is it going to make you want to win arm wrestling?
None of these guys were training effectively because one guy eats a full cigar, a lit full cigar before the arm wrestling, which gotta hurt. Like, no matter how much, like, he's like, he just sucks it down and then wins. You know, he's a good arm wrestler.
And there's the guy that drinks the Valvoline. Like,
same guy.
Same. Oh, it's the same guy. Oh my God,
that had to happen.
Grizzly?
Yeah.
Are you telling me Grizzly ate a cigar and drank motor oil?
Yeah, bro.
That's why he needed that Alka-Seltzer.
Oh boy, I bet that was his idea. Hey, get me an edible cigar. What?
I want to do something nice for the good people at Alka-Seltzer. That had to be like written. That had to be somebody from Alka-Seltzer was like, we got it. Somebody's going to drink motor oil. They were like, we know the guy. His name's Grizzly.
And now people try to go to Alka-Seltzer all the time. They're like, no, we got burned on over the top. We're not doing this again. Just so you know, another little fact about the movie. John Wheaton, the lead singer of the rock group Asia, originally sang Winner Takes It All for the movie. But after performing the song, Stallone said his voice wasn't mean enough. So they switched him out with Sammy Hagar.
Amazing.
And Stallone joined in too.
You did?
Really?
Yes, that is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got this.
Asia, you're a bunch of pussies. Me and Sammy Hagar are going to take the reins of this song. I feel like there's a lot of stuff to talk about, but I feel like maybe the audience has some questions. I want to go out to the audience and see if you have some questions. Raise your hands, and I'm going to come to you, and we'll see if we missed anything. You're applauding. You don't even know the questions yet. All right. Your name, your favorite Stallone movie, and your question. Go ahead.
Andre's favorite Stallone movie, it's got to be Over the Top. I want to know why the main bad guy, he lost. He's been winning 5 years in a row. So that means the prize is $100,000 each year, maybe, and a truck each year, maybe. So he should have five trucks and at least $500,000.
Yeah. That is a very good point.
But wait, is your question why is he still in it?
Oh, yeah.
Because he hasn't beat Lincoln Hawk.
No way, but he doesn't know about him.
Lincoln Hawk.
When they're announcing everybody's where they're from, they're like, that guy, he's from the main division. And Hawk is from the amateur underground.
Hawk is from the trucker division. And somehow he's an unknown, but yet this guy goes to like random diners to scout
to find him.
So and he's like, definitely 20-1 with really low odds for the guy, the champion of the sport to be like, yeah, I gotta go get this guy.
And Bull shows up and is like, when he holds the kid's hand in that bar and is like, let's just get this over with now. Let's not wait till Vegas.
Like there is a
but to that point,
history.
Perhaps he doesn't want to wait till Vegas because he's like, I won this shit.
Yeah, I don't want to pay insurance
he
on another fucking truck.
He talks about how winning number one is his only thing in life and being number two sucks. And there's no, but then he headbutts Stallone. But then when he loses, he's like, oh, okay. And he raises Stallone.
I noticed that too. He seemed to take it rather well.
Well, you know what? I have a theory on that. Their hands were tied together. So Stallone, in his victory, had to pull up his hand. It was like a puppety.
He took the initiative. He takes the initiative. He's like, all right, he's the winner.
I will say, look, after you make your first $500,000, things go away. I'm going to go over here. What's your name, your favorite part of this movie, and your question?
My name is Gabby, and my favorite part of this movie is probably the music and the amazing ballads. But I just have to mention that the son's name is Mike Hawk.
Standing ovation. I'd also like to point out that his name his name also might be Mike Hawks. So yes, your name, your favorite Stallone moment in this film, or Robert Loggia moment, and your question.
My name is Julia. My favorite moment is the montage where they're working out against the truck.
The backlit montage.
Oh, that looks like a montage. Great workout, that truck and workout.
It's a machine. It's a machine, okay?
My question is, so in the scene that you showed earlier where he's arm wrestling the kid says, kid, if I lost to you, I'd kill myself. And then loses to him. So... do you think that kid killed himself?
Yes, I do.
I do too.
What would be amazing is if you found that actor and did a movie now that was about his character having been trying to kill himself for years.
I also like the fact...
It started with that scene, and it just followed him home. And all he does is try and kill himself over and over and over again.
I like Groundhog Day. Yep. I like the fact that the actor killed himself after it.
Yeah.
No, that's too much, Paul.
I know. Went too far.
We'll only go so far. We're the audience.
We will only hypothesize about the character, not the brilliant acting of that child.
An actor killing themselves.
Your name, how would you appeal to your son if you hadn't seen him in 10 years? And your question. One line that you would say to your son when you picked him up from military school. Here you go.
My name's Bobby. I would say, what Stallone said, I would say, you have to win, but then you can lose as long as you lose like a winner.
All right, good. I like it. You took it from the film. I like it.
My question is, if anyone noticed that Robert Loggia's goon was also the really crazy hothead bouncer from Roadhouse.
Yep.
With the exact same facial hair and the exact same perm. It was like
the guy that gets fired.
Yeah.
Well, that's how he got there. Had to end it up. He worked for another old man. These are just beefy dudes who work for old men who intimidate very strong men. Like Robert Loggia and the other guy, Ben Gazzara.
Yep.
They're like, oh, we got to intimidate a nice, really well-fit 30-year-old. We need goons.
And then his only job is to talk tough and then get his ass kicked. You know, in like one moment where he gets...
Stallone throws him through a door with so much ease.
And the door explodes.
That's not...
The door, like the wood implodes into like splinters instantly.
That's not Terry Funk, right? Terry Funk's in this, but is that him?
I don't know. I don't know the actor's name.
Someone says that is Terry Funk?
It is Terry Funk.
Hey, you're Terry Funk.
Oh!
But what if it was Terry Funk?
What's going on?
All right.
What if it was Tom
Terry
Dalton's
Funk
dad?
Is here. If Terry Funk is here, that would be amazing.
If All you right. bring Terry Funk to Alive, How Did This Get Made? You both get in free.
Your name, why you think the mom didn't show the letters to her son and your question. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Leanne, and I have to go with June's theory that she's just bananas insane. Crazy. And this really isn't a question. It's just from earlier. The movie that beat this in the box office was Platoon, number one.
Nice.
Look at that. Coming well researched.
Did you know that? Or did you?
Thank you, Leanne Rhymes.
Who has a really good question? Put two hands up. You have a really good question. Oh, this guy, immediately. Beards. Both two guys with beards. Two hands up. Let's see.
Take their questions first. They're cool.
These guys are former arm wrestlers. All right, your name? Would you be called it if you were an arm wrestler? And your question, go.
Oh, man, this is a lot of pressure for my question now. I'm Rob. Okay. My name would probably be The Beard. Okay.
Taken. I already took it. Ah.
I was always confused because they introduced Bull as having been undefeated. But it seems like, and I'm not sure, that the match, they're double elimination?
Right.
Okay, so doesn't Bull only lose once?
I had that theory too. I think that double elimination only exists until you're in the finals. But finals, wait, yes. All bets are off. Then it is single elimination.
But wouldn't Stallone have to beat him twice?
Yeah. That's what I thought, but I think when you're in the finals...
Yeah, the double elimination is only until the finals.
Because, well,
it gets
in
the
my
finals.
Mind now, Stallone and Bull have both lost once.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But now we're in the finals.
No, Bull hasn't lost before the finals.
Yeah.
What?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter in the finals?
Says somebody, you know, very boldly, but does not know. All right. It's very unexplained. Here we go. This is your name. You also have a beard, so what would be your wrestling, your arm wrestling name and your question?
My name is Peter. Presumably my name would be something like Junkyard Muldoon or one of these sort of generic guy names.
He's thought of this.
That can wait.
Time between me and the other beard.
Junkyard Muldoon. If he asks, I'm going to say Junkyard Muldoon. I'm going to say Junkyard McGillicuddy. No, man, you should say Junkyard Muldoon. No.
I like Junkyard Muldoon.
That's pretty sweet.
Also a character in Platoon. Here we go.
It also looks like in that same hotel, there's some sort of trade show going on.
You mean the
Hilton? Because when they're looking for the kid...
The Duracell battery?
The two henchmen are looking at an abandoned Duracell battery display.
I thought about that. I thought that Duracell was just getting into a very niche market.
Yep.
They're like... Guys, we need to send some reps out to the Hilton. These arm wrestlers, they're driving their trucks, they're listening to their Walkmans. They need Duracells in there.
That's what I thought. I thought that too, yeah.
All right, we have time for one more question. One more good question.
It's better be fucking good.
Here we go. Your name and your question. That's it. I'm having to give you a middle question. Here you go.
Okay, my name's Natalie, and my question is, where does Stallone get all the T-shirts that he changes in the final wrestling scene? And it culminates in a boat neck New York T-shirt, like a baby tee.
Is it really a boat neck, or is it more of a scoop neck?
He seemingly has no affiliation to New York.
No, June seems really shocked by this.
I am.
I wish you could see the look on her face.
You're right. He changes probably like 7 times.
He also lets his kid drive a truck.
By the way, we didn't even talk about that scene. The kid's like, you know, you're a truck driver. You're not even smarter than a 13-year-old. And he's like, drive the truck. What does that prove? Like, well, how does that prove intelligence? He's like, I could drive a truck. I'm super smart.
And you know what? The kid does.
It's the not kid even has like, trouble for about 2.5 seconds.
It's not even like the kid can't do it. And he's like, see, not so dumb after all. The kid masters it almost instantly.
Yeah, and then he's like, open her up, man. Open her up.
The kid should have been like, see, this isn't so easy, you fucking dummy.
Oh, by the way, that truck is kind of magical because when the kid does get kidnapped, he jumps, Stallone jumps into his fucking semi-truck and immediately gets it up to speed to go into a high-speed car chase.
Also,
that doesn't happen. Like,
wasn't he towing something at that point?
I think he dropped the load. We didn't
did.
See that.
What?
You heard me. He dropped a load.
Oh, him and the kid?
Yeah.
They dropped a load?
Yeah.
Together?
By the way, another bad fathering example. He slams that other car. His kid is inside of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He runs good. He runs a truck off the road with his son in it.
And then pretty much leaves the truck behind.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And his son, by the way, is like a mile ahead in a truck going, Dad! Dad!
And then like, I believe he says he's coming. Like, how about like the guys this? Are like, yeah, we know he's chasing us.
How about this? This is crazy. When he first picks the kid up, the scene where the kid tries to run away from him. And it's like it's like Frogger
into traffic. Cut to a grown man in traffic
across, and the kid causes like a pile up, like cars like like craziness, and they're like, get back in the truck.
No, like, that's not his reaction. His reaction is a chest hold from behind,
while
up against a light pole, while he slowly backs up towards the light pole so that he can hold his son and calm him down.
Right,
like,
while it sounds like
people are dying. 10 feet away.
Obviously, we had some opinions about this movie, but there are some people who think differently. These are 5-star reviews, cold from Amazon. It's time for a second opinion. Okay. These are pretty great. All right. I don't even know where to... Okay. Oh, man. All right. Here we go. I just got to find the best way to start because they're so long. Okay. Let's try this one. I have to admit, I still cry every time I see the scene where Mike loses the arm wrestling match at the truck stop pinball machine. I'm embarrassed to admit that I had 3 broken noses from reenacting the final scene of the movie with my brother John. What a scene.
Wait, 3 broken noses? So 3 different times they tried to reenact that scene?
This was a 3-nosed boy that wrote this.
Hawk was facing elimination and pulls through to beat Bull, while Jason Cutler looks on and finally realizes that Hawk is a super dad. By the way, it's Michael Cutler.
Yeah. Jason Cutler?
It's Michael Cutler. Unless that's Robert Loggia.
That's Robert Loggia's character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
I still resent John to this day for always being Bull and making me be Hawk every time. He would always trick me. Now he's talking about his brother. He would always trick me and tell me.
I thought his brother's name was Joe.
No. Now he's talking about his brother. His brother would, when they would act out this scene, his brother would trick
him.
It's
an homage to the movie.
Okay,
he's changing the name.
This is someone admitting on Amazon that they were molested.
Yes. He goes,
please help me.
He would always trick me and say, but Bri, you get to be Hawk. You win the truck. If I had to do it again, I'd still be Lincoln Hawk. I recommend this movie to anyone who's an arm wrestler.
Or
a friend of an arm wrestler.
Which is basically all of us.
Yeah.
Which is basically everyone.
Which is just an arm wrestler and the dude who slaps that dude in the face.
Brian Sequeira, 5 stars. Mike 265 writes, I'm 22 years old now, and I was 10 when the movie came out. When it came out on video, I watched it over and over and over again. Nevertheless, the tape got worn out, and I have not had a chance to buy a new copy. But I will.
Hey, Mike 265, it's available on Netflix.
Yeah. Also, that means he wrote this in 1999.
Yeah, this is an old one.
It's also possible that when he was registering at Amazon, he was like, Mike. Wait, that's taken? Mike 1. Huh. Mike 2. Weird. Mike 3. Wait. Mike 199. Oh, come on. Wait a minute here. Mike 256. Wait, really?
It gets better. He goes, I will let you know that I've also went through some of the things that Lincoln Hawk went through with his son Mike, with my daughter in New York, and I in California to better myself. Having trouble with the mother not letting me talk to her or my family see her, but I still send her birthday/Christmas/Easter presents to her anyway, because it makes me feel closer to her and the movie.
This
Mike.
Is bumming me out.
Wait. He sends her the presents because it makes him feel closer to the movie?
Yes.
Makes him feel closer to her and the movie? I'm going to send her this Easter present because, fuck it, I got to feel close to
over
the
top
right now.
Not the 3 big holidays, birthday, Christmas, and Easter. Like, birthday, Christmas, big. Easter's kind of a...
weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't
send
her.
Yeah, no, that's a weird one.
Brittany B. writes, I bought this DVD for my boyfriend who arm wrestles professionally.
What?
Before I dated him, I didn't even know a thing existed. Anyway, I got it for him for his birthday, and he kept dropping subtle hints of wanting the movie on DVD because his VHS version had seen better days.
Wait, is she dating the guy from the first response who wore out the tape?
Is she dating my dad?
Maybe people who just love this movie only own VHS machines in their trucks.
It's impossible to find anywhere.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, it's really hard to find over the top. I spent the last 4 days looking for it.
Oh, my God.
It's on Amazon.
It's on
Amazon. But you can't find it, like, in the store anymore.
It's on Netflix.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
I'm just fucking
Netflix
stupid.
Watch
Sorry.
Instinct, guys.
Upon receiving his gift, you would have thought I had given him the world. He bragged about this gift to all of his friends and fellow arm wrestling acquaintances.
He's not ready to call those guys friends.
He said, the quality of the DVD was excellent. The only complaint he had was there were no special features other than the original movie trailer.
And for that, he beats me mercilessly.
Brittany B, 5 fucking stars. Holy shit, there's some serious emotions going on in here.
This movie brings up a lot of emotions for people.
Would you guys recommend seeing this on Netflix or Amazon?
100%.
Yeah. It's pretty great. It's a lesser-known Stallone. It's funny because you'll never see a movie structured this way either, because it really is. Like, the first 20 minutes is like just a father-son road pick, and then the last 70 are just arm wrestling.
Also
a movie
screaming.
They can't make anymore.
Like, no, yeah, you could
can't
never
make
this movie.
A movie like where you take a kid somewhere and make him watch you wrestle men.
You've tried.
I've tried. It's impossible. I want a fucking truck, though.
I would actually love, like, it would be like, you know how Stallone is doing the sequels to everything now? I would love to see this movie now, like, 20 years later. It is Son and Hawk, or Hawk and Son, whatever they decided on.
And Michael is an arm wrestling amateur. He's, like, rising through the ranks.
But I just want the movie to be called Over the Tippy Top real bad. Just really bad. He's got a kid, too, and now the baby's gonna arm wrestle, too.
He's on the baby arm wrestling circuit.
Man, just a little tiny baby crib, and he's just fucking
the
pumping.
The baby can't ever actually hold something.
What if he had a baby that had no fingers?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Little ravioli hands.
Probably give it up for adoption. Kid can't do it.
Yeah, he would just leave. He would just leave, and then somebody else in his life would die, and he would show up late to their funeral.
Bull is sitting in his palatial $500,000 house. We must get Hawk's son, grandson.
Yeah, I hope Bull's not driving trucks anymore.
Like, there was one version, because I was listening closely, but there's the truckers, there's the Teamsters. Bull may have been like a lawyer for all we know.
Oh.
The strongest lawyer. Yep.
I'm going to win this case! Ripping law books in half.
And representing the defendant, Bull Goldstein. Your Honor,
take this stand and I'll bash your fucking head into it.
I own you. I'm going to rip your fucking arm off. The defense rests.
What if he only does child custody cases? He only does child custody cases now. Well, guys, you have been a great audience. Thank you, Subculture New York. Thank you, everybody that's here. Thank you to Bobby Moynihan.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. A lot of big announcements for us today. First and foremost, NTSF SD SUV is back on the air. Brand new episodes. We started last week. You can catch us every Thursday night at 12:15. That's June and I. We're both on that show on Adult Swim at 12:15 following Children's Hospital. Also, make sure you check out the Arshirio Paul Show. 7 brand new episodes are dropping this Wednesday. Go to Jash. Type in Arshirio Paul. You're going to see people like Seth Rogen, Alison Brie, Max Greenfield, Jack McBrayer. The list goes on and on and on. I'm actually really excited about that. What else? What else can I tell you? Make sure you buy your tickets for August 24th. We hope to see you there. And, oh, a big thanks to all of our brand new interns who've been killing it right now. So we give a big shout out to those guys. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.